And I woke up this morning, I began to praise the Lord for the power we had back on at our house. We had, amen, didn't have any power at our house for about 2.5 days. Got to stay with Dad and Karen, amen, visit with them. That was a blessing. Amen, sometimes it's good to just go away and get away from everything in your life and just rest in the Lord. Amen, but I woke up this morning thinking about how the Lord has given us power, amen, back in our house. And I got to thinking about that. And we're going to go back over to Acts chapter 1 like we went over this morning. Maybe bring a few things out about this. But Acts chapter 1, it says, we're going to start at the beginning and read down probably to about verse 8 or so. Maybe a little bit after that. But it says, back in verse 1 here, the former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up.
Right.
After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Infallible means you can't prove them wrong. They're just without argument.
Amen.
Infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Some things we just don't know. Hey, some things are just reserved for God to know, and we just got to trust him. But listen to this. This next part, we're going to take our text from the message today. In verse 8, chapter 1, very familiar. Amen. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We're going to stop our reading right there for just a few minutes. Amen. But he says here, you're going to receive power. Amen. First of all, I'd like to get back to that being seen of them for 40 days. Amen. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find some more infallible proofs there. Just starting at that first part of that chapter, it talks about how Jesus was seen of 500 brethren at one time. Amen. And all these other things that go on and talk about his resurrection. Amen. You talk about power this morning. Amen. There's no greater power, amen, than that the resurrection of a body that had been died, amen, in the grave. Amen. But he talks about the 40 days that they were seen. And later on he begins to tell them, he says, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He told them before he left in John chapter 14, amen, I got to go away. Hey man, but I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter to come to you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And that comforter was on his way.
Amen.
Hey man, they had to tarry in Jerusalem. It was about 40 days there, but later on it's about 49, 50 days where you come to the Feast of Weeks, which is what we call Pentecost. Hey man, that's where you need to search for that. Somewhere over in Leviticus it talks about the different feasts. Amen. But this was a feast of a harvest and praising God for what he had done for them in their crops and in their grains. Amen. And we was about to see here when the Holy Ghost came upon them in chapter 2. When you get into that next week, Lord willing, you'll see the harvest that comes down from heaven. Amen. And the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I'm getting off the subject here. He said you receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
The thought that I had this morning, amen, was powerless. Amen. I was powerless for about 2.5 days. Our house didn't have power. Amen. We didn't have no heat. The temperature dropped down to 40 degrees. I think it's as low as it got. Amen. I had to go around the house preparing things. Had to unplug some outlets. Didn't want the power to surge all of a sudden and start a house fire. Amen. Put all my guitars. You ought to see them. I had a big stack of them about this high. Had about 3 blankets over the top of all of them so they wouldn't be destroyed and be damaged. Amen. We was without power. Amen. Where we lived, there was no power. Amen. We had to take a journey down the road to somebody that had some power. Amen. I tell you what, a lot of people today, amen, they may have their power restored back in their house. Hey, but that inner house, it's still just as dead. Amen. As the last 2 days have been in my house. Amen. The power's not on. Amen. They're walking and they're cold inside because there's no heat burning up. There's no fire. Amen. There's no passion. There's no desire to serve the Lord. Amen. They're cold and they're indifferent. Amen. And they've been walking their whole life that way and don't realize what they've been missing out on.
Good
boy. After the Holy Ghost came, man, I tell you what, He's here today. I'm glad He's here in church. I'm glad I'm where the Lord is. Amen. I'd rather be where the Lord is than any place else in the world. Amen. One preacher said, I'd rather be in a good church house as any the finest jail in this country. Amen. I'm glad I'm here with you this morning. Didn't know I was going to preach for sure. I had kind of an inkling when J.C. called, said he was sick. Dad said, well, you better have one in the chamber. I kind of laughed it off, didn't really know what he meant, but then I did later on when I got home. I said, oh, no. Lord, help me. Amen. But amen, He said, you'll see power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
And you'll be witnesses to me.
Lord.
Witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Notice these locations. Both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. First of all, we have Jerusalem.
Amen.
My fist is Jerusalem, okay? It's the center. Amen. Until that time, until Jesus had died, salvation was of the Jews. The Gentiles were excluded. Everybody else were excluded. It only belonged to the Jews.
Amen.
When Christ died, and the temple rent from top to bottom, amen, bringing in access that we have to the Father, to the Gentiles, then Jesus said, you're going to go witness from Judah, Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to all the world.
Amen.
The door had been opened so that the Gentiles and the entire world could receive this Holy Ghost and receive salvation and receive reconciliation back to God. Amen. He said, that's the kind of power you're going to have.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about being a new creature. And talks about being ambassadors for Christ, reconciling people back into God. But he says in verse 9, he says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight.
Right.
I don't know about you, but Brother Stephen was talking about those bright clouds. Amen. We've seen some interesting clouds these last few days. Amen. Where the clouds, it seemed like the mountain just became invisible as they rose up to the clouds. But every now and then you'd see a break in the clouds and they'd be just a stream of light coming through. And every time I see something like that, I think, Lord, could this be the day that you're coming back?
Yes.
Amen.
They beheld him and he was received up, taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Man, there's a funny thing about those two men. They appear at different places.
Right.
Amen. They appeared at the tomb of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. When the stone was rolled away. And it's funny. It seems like they always ask them a question.
Right.
They always ask them, well, this makes sense why you got so many problems with this. He's going to come back in like manner. Amen. The Lord that you seek, He's not here.
Right.
He told you He wouldn't be. I believe there might be two angels coming down when He comes back. Amen. When the world's on fire, when the world's confused, I wonder if them two angels and two men in white robes be up there saying, we told you so. We told you He's coming back in like manner, so as you've seen.
Amen.
He says, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? First of all, they knew who they were.
That's right.
Amen. God knows everything about you, my friend. Amen. Make no mistake, there's nothing you can hide from an almighty God, an all-seeing God. Amen. Who created us and knows us.
Right.
Bible Paul said, in Him we move and live and have our being. Amen. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. From that they knew that Jesus would return one day after a while. Like Brother Stephen said, time was limited.
Yes.
Amen. They had a work to do. They had a job to do. But I want you to notice this next part. It said in verse 12, Acts chapter 1, then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. The Mount of Olives. Amen. Where they pressed the olives and made olive oil out of it. This was the same mountain that not too long after he was in the mountain, he went to a garden of Gethsemane and he was literally pressed with the burden of the sin of this world in the garden while he prayed, and his sweat became as great drops of blood.
Yeah.
This is the same mountain, amen, that in Zechariah 14 you'll find, amen, when he comes back to this earth, his foot's going to set foot on the Mountain of Olives.
Right.
Amen, there's going to be a cleaver or a split from east to west in that whole mountain, and the mountain is going to move from the north and the south. Amen, and God's going to set up kingdom to reign here forever and ever.
Yes.
There's something else different about this mountain that's very interesting. Amen, I began to think about this, and I began to think about some scripture that I had heard in my mind and I had read before. Amen. It was interesting. You know, God sometimes, amen, gives you some interesting nuggets in the Bible. And if you, here's a nugget for you in Luke chapter 24, very last chapter in Luke. Amen. It says in verse 50 here, after he had talked to them and told them about repentance and preaching and being witnesses and all these things, told them to even go to Jerusalem. That was where the commandment came, for them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. It said he led them out, Jesus, as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now you listen to that. And it says he led them out as far as Bethany. Well, over in Acts it said they went from the Mount of Olives. What's going on? I began to look at that. And I began to look in the back of my little Thompson Chain Bible that's got archaeological finds and things like that. It was saying that Bethany is just a town about 2 miles on the west side of the Mount of Olives. So Bethany actually sat on the Mount of Olives.
Right.
Why did he lead them as far as Bethany? Well, if you recall, Bethany was also the place. Go ahead and turn there. We may read a little bit. John chapter 11. Bethany was also the home of Mary, Martha, and an interesting character by the name of Lazarus. Amen. This was a man who had died and he'd been dead for 4 days. Amen. By that time he had turned. Amen. His body had decayed so much that it said he must have stunk. He stinketh. Amen. This was a place where one of the greatest demonstrations of power that Christ had on this earth took place. Amen. He went to that place. He was late on purpose, but he was right on time. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus is always right on time. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. He's always on time. Amen. It took us 2.5 days to get power back on at the house, but he was on time.
Amen.
Amen. They was in Bethany. Many times there was another place I found where it said he abode in the Mount of Olives. That evening, well, he probably was in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany.
Yes.
Amen. But he said over there, amen, that in John chapter 11, amen, Lazarus had died. Jesus tried to get their attention, tried to get them on the spiritual side of things. He said, well, he sleepeth. Amen. Don't sorrow. He's asleep.
Right.
And amen. The disciples got confused and said, well, what's the hurry? He's just sleeping. And Jesus had to bring it down to their level and say, well, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. But he won't stay that way. He's not going to stay that way. So they took their leave, amen, of where they was at and went on back down to where they lived over Bethany and all that, where they had buried him. Amen. And one of the greatest, like I said, demonstrations of power this world has ever known or seen, amen, took place at that grave. Amen. They asked, Jesus asked him, where have you laid him? Amen. Where have you laid Lazarus at? Amen. They began to show him. He said, hey, take the stone away. Amen. I'm glad one day after a while. Amen. When this old body is in the ground and the stone of the grave is rolled up on top of it. Amen. Jesus, one day he's going to step out on a cloud. And he's going to have to say, oh, death, roll the stone away. Amen. He's going to call my name like he called Lazarus. He called Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He's going to have to call my name. Amen, because I'm born again. Amen, I gave my heart to him. Amen, I'm covered in the blood. I'm one of his. Amen, and one day he's going to step on the cloud, tell the grave to roll the stone away, and he's going
to
call out my name. I don't know if he'll call out my name as I'm known here, or if he'll go ahead and sign me a new name there and call me out. But rest assured, I'll know his voice. Amen, because he's my shepherd, and I'm one of his sheep. Amen, and when he yells out my name, I'll have to come forth. Death will have to take loose.
Yes.
Amen. The grave will have to turn loose. Amen. And I'll have a new body and a new life. Amen. He told them to take the stone away. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And Lazarus came out. He was still bound in these dead, these grave clothes. But he was very much alive that day.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what he saw while he was gone for 4 days. I don't know what he thought about when he came back. But you don't really find him saying too much. Amen. I believe he was so stunned he probably couldn't even say anything. Paul said when he went to the third heaven, amen, that there was words he couldn't even, wasn't even lawful for man to speak. Amen. But he said here, he was taken out of the grave. He came forth from the grave, and they told him to loose him and let him go. Amen. The grave clothes were taken off, and about one or two chapters over, I think it's the funniest thing. Amen. They go to Bethany. They go to their house. Maybe it was a Simon the leper's house. They live right close to each other. But they was having a dinner. Amen. And I don't know if that's the one where Martha was serving, was cumbered about with much serving or not. But amen, they was having a dinner and Lazarus was at the table. And the people that were there, Pharisees and all this, they plotted to kill Lazarus.
That's right.
That's how ignorant they was.
Yes.
Why would they think that if Christ was able to raise one from the dead that they'd have any power over him whatsoever? If they killed him, Christ could have rose him again. Now what are you going to do? Christ has all power.
Right.
Amen. In Colossians, over there, chapter about 1, I think it is, he talks about how all principalities, all powers, everything is subject and underneath you. And by Christ, all things were made. Without him was nothing made that was made. By him all things consist. He is at the top of the power level today. But so many people are still without power. Amen. And I'm not talking about just Holy Ghost power. I'm talking about power that we sung about this morning. Victory.
Amen.
They don't have victory in their lives.
Amen.
They don't have the courage to look Amen. Death in the face and say, yes. Death, you may take me today, but Christ is coming back after me one day after a while. They don't have that peace in their heart. I think this is a great illustration that God's given us over this last week. How helpless we are without
Good
Him.
Message.
Hey man, in John chapter 15, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Later on that same verse, he said, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
Without Christ, you're nothing.
Right.
Without Christ, you can do nothing.
That's right.
Amen. I don't care if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't care if you're Mr. Olympia. I don't care if you're the strongest man on earth. You'll bow the knee before Christ.
Right.
Amen. Ain't nobody could take that ultimate prize. Why is that? Because He went to the grave for every one of us.
Amen.
And in the most ultimate demonstration of power, amen, He not only lifted Lazarus up. He not only lifted the daughter of Jairus up. He not only lifted the boy that was on the coffin in the cot that was being carried out. And He touched the bier, and the coffin part. Amen. And the boy came alive. He not only raised those people up, but He had the power to raise Himself up from the grave.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Think about that. Enough power to raise Himself up.
Yes.
You know, for me and you, if dying for the saved person can be accounted as sleep, then Christ went to sleep and just woke up and just lifted off the bed. For us, it's a small thing.
Amen.
But when you're lying in the bed of that coffin, you can't do that.
That's right.
You have no power left. Christ left the body here in the tomb. It was a temporary tomb. It was a borrowed tomb. He wasn't going to have it forever. And when He went to the heart of the earth and preached unto the captives and led captivity captive and got them out of the grave and rescued them, you read all that in Peter and Ephesians and all that, He took up a glorified body.
Right.
It was the same body He left here with because the grave clothes were all that was left. That body was gone. Nobody took it. It was transformed.
Yes.
Translated.
Mm-hmm.
He had been transfigured once on a mountaintop. I don't know if it was olives or not. It just said they went to a high mountain. They didn't say the name of the mountain. Later on, Peter called it a holy mountain.
Yes.
But He was translated in front of their eyes. For a moment, He was there with Moses and Elijah on the mountainside. And the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw it. They were part of His inner circle. I find it amazing that He was able to do all these things. We always focus on, oh, He healed the sick, or He gave eyes the blind, the blinded eyes sight. All these things, to me, they're little compared to raising somebody from the dead.
Amen.
Much less Himself.
No comparison.
They're little compared when being transfigured into a different form in front of somebody's eyes and then coming back into that flesh. That's how much power he had. Don't you think for one moment, he could have, if he wanted to, just stay in that transfigured form, went back into heaven and said, "This is too much for me." Amen. All could have been lost. But you know what kept him here? Love. I don't know about you, but if I took down a glorified body, I wouldn't be turning head and saying, "Hey, I got to go back where I came from." I'd be gone.
Yes.
If I saw the things that Paul had seen, I'd want to go there and stay there forever.
Yes.
My hold on this world's hold on me would have been gone.
No looking back.
Jesus had that opportunity.
Try.
When he was on the cross, he had that opportunity to end it all. But he loved each and every one of us. A world that had denied him. A world that was created by him and turned their face against him. And said, "Crucify the one who created us. We don't want to have nothing to do with him." It makes more sense when you think of how bad this world's going to get during the Great Tribulation, how they reject Christ. You say, when somebody's faced with hell, they'll surely repent. No, not necessarily. Because they rejected him one time.
Right.
And they'll do it again. There's going to be an ultimate battle take place one day after a while. And we'll see who's on the Lord's side and we'll see who's on the devil's side.
Yes.
Are you with that power today? I mean, what a blessing it is to look up and say, "The heat's on, the lights are on, I'm not in darkness." You know, when there's power, the darkness goes away. When the light's present, the darkness has to flee. Jesus is that light. He said, "I'm the light of the world."
Yes.
As he left this world, he passed that down onto the disciples and to those who would come after them.
Yes.
Now we are the light of the world.
Yes.
He called us the light of the world. Mm-hmm. How wonderful it is to have power in this place. And how wonderful it is to have power in your heart, in your own temple, in your house.
Amen.
If you don't have power today, you're not hooked up to the main source.
Amen.
We was talking about the other day when we was at Dad's, how different sections of towns are on different power grids.
Mm-hmm.
How Dad's fortunate because where they live, they're on the same power grid as the nursing home there. So the nursing home has to have power. So then Dad will have power too. It was amazing how close down the road, not even maybe a half a mile, when we left to go to Dad's, we saw lights on at our neighbor's houses.
Mm-hmm.
But we ourselves were without power. Man, I hope you're getting this.
Yes. Jesus.
No power. Just a few miles down the road. Mm-hmm. They had power.
Yes.
It's just too much to comprehend. Mm-hmm. But your neighbor might be okay. And you might be thinking, "Well, I'll just go to the neighbor's house and hook up with them." The neighbor ain't the source of power.
That's right.
The main grid, the main power source, it's Christ.
Amen.
It's not Buddha. He's still in the grave. It's not Muhammad. He's still in the grave. They had no power. No other God in history had any power than the one true God. And his evidence is all through this book right here.
Yes.
He's the evidence of this power. So if you don't have any power in your life, maybe you've been disconnected from the power source. Maybe something in your life has turned it off for you. Maybe something that you've been involved in or you've kind of been dabbling in has flicked that circuit breaker and you've overloaded it.
Whew.
Somebody come get a song. This is something serious, folks. Because this same resurrection power we see from Christ, he's going to have all that power and glory when he comes back. And he is coming back. If he fulfilled everything in this word, what's to make you think he's not going to fulfill that?
Amen. Amen.
And it's right on the horizon, folks. I'm telling you. I look at the world today and the state our country's in. The state, the world in nature is in. We got fires in California. We had a blizzard storm here, power outages. There's floods, earthquakes, all this stuff happening. COVID. And that's a whole other subject right there. Amazing things about that and how that compares to Noah's day. Jesus said, "As in the days of Noah, it'll be in the Son of Man."
Amen.
We're on the verge of His return. I believe that by my heart.
Yes.
And now is not the time to dislocate yourself from the power.
Amen.
As He sings. The altar's open if you need to pray. If you need to hook back up to the power source, the altar's open.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
God bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Hear my
praise the Lord.
Our
Son has come, amen, that needs power. Amen, you need power this morning? Oh, come back to the fountain of life. Come back to the power source this morning. Jesus had the power to give them the Holy Ghost. How much more shall He give to them that ask of Him the Holy Ghost, He said. He knows what we need. He's got the power to give us what we need. Knowing Lazarus was in the grave, Mary told the Lord, you know, if you'd been here, it might have been Martha, one or the other, told the Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. And He began to talk to her about the resurrection. She said, Lord, I know He'll rise again at the last day, as if it was an event. We think of the resurrection as an event, but it's not.
I am.
It's a person.
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. What was He saying? I have the power to raise Him up. Not the last day, but right now.
Yeah.
Amen. Christ has the power right now. We don't have to wait until we get to the other side of eternity to experience His presence and His power. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for your attention this morning. Appreciate the obedience. I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor.